Traders who can't take their losses, who let losses run, are in freeze. They're in trauma. It's literally a
It's
trauma response.
yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, traders don't want to talk about trauma, but that's where the solution lies.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach-churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and today I'm joined by Mandy Refsandiani. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. Nice
oh, thank
work.
God. of high performance trading. So thank you, Bear, for another great guest recommendation. And I think that's some German I detect in the accent. Is that correct?
Yes, I am German, born and bred in Germany. My father was originally from Iran. It was, you know, during Shah times, it was very fashionable to go to Germany and study medicine or engineering. So, yeah, my father went in the 60s, I think. No, must be, yeah, beginning of 60s. And then he met my mom, and then, you know, what happens? My brother came, and and then I was there. And so, yeah, we were actually quite lucky because... my father then stayed in Germany.
Which part of
where we were?
Which part of Germany?
So it's at the southwest, and that's why my German is maybe a little bit softer than traditionally, because I'm from the French border, from a place called Saarbrücken.
Oh, okay.
And it's the Alsace region. So, you know, we are the region of delicious food, where our food is very French influenced. Our German food is French influenced, and so Luxembourg is 30 minutes from my mom's place, and Strasbourg is about an hour. So it's a beautiful, beautiful wine region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we do have wine for lunch.
My Naoma is from Germany. She was born in Halle, I believe. Which
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, she was on the other side.
Yes.
She was on the eastern side. Yeah, so she ended up coming across here shortly after the World War II, and it was quite the story that she had too. I mean, oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember I teased her one time about calling a calculator an adding machine when I was a kid. And I said, did you have those in school when you were growing up? And she said, no, I was dodging bombs when I was in school.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry,
and
Oma.
You know, I love that you share that story, because I know you're making a little bit of light of it, but her experience would have influenced the experience of your parents, which in turn would have experienced and shaped your upbringing, which in turn shapes your experience with trading and the markets and the unconscious decision-making process. So when we start looking at the generational influence, we finally understand why we make the decisions we make today. It's like, wow.
So with my grandma or my oma, I spent a lot of time with them as a kid, actually. I would actually say that my grandpa was probably more of a father figure, at least a more reliable one in my life than any other one.
Interesting.
Is that... So when you mentioned like the grandparents affecting people, like I think they probably have more of an effect on me than the typical person. But I'm curious how that, like, yeah, they influence your parents, but do they influence me directly too, in a, like a more traditional type way?
Yeah. So now there's so many aspects to it. It's just fascinating. So on one hand, your grandparents would have been a little bit older than your parents, more life experience. More settled as well within them, because that's just what happens with the years. So technically speaking, there would have been great, I'm generalizing because I don't know anything, but there could have been great parents for you out of that more experienced stage. They would maybe be able to give you more certainty and structure and safety. So everything a child needs.
If I'm being honest, I think my dad actually might have been a little bit jealous of the relationship I got, because I got a completely different person than he got as a father.
Yeah. And this is like, I see that with my mom. My mom always says I can do make up with the grandkids what I screwed up with you guys. Right. And so.
Oh, wow. I never even thought about the parents thinking of it like that, too.
Wow,
you don't even think about the regret that maybe they had.
And that's why there can be more lenient parents, so to speak, than our real parents, right?
Because, so let me ask,
go for it.
Ask you this question: is there ever a point where you actually feel like you're a grown-up or an adult, or do you always just kind of feel like a kid, like kind of in a slowly aging body?
Well, if you ask me, I still feel like a kid, and I look in the mirror and it's like, who is this person?
Right. Does anybody actually know what's going on, or do we all just like out there trying to figure it out?
Yeah, because we live so much in memory, don't we? And I feel that where I used to be able to, I don't know, run up a hill, and I'm trying to run up the hill, and it's like, right. I'm panting. It's like, what happened?
Right.
I used to be so fit, and I still do a lot of sports, right? I do Pilates every day. I live by the beach. I do go for my runs, but we don't have any hills here. So when I get back to Germany, which I'm spending 3 months a year in Germany, then there's a lot. It's a very hilly area where my mom lives, and it's like I need to start from scratch building it up. So I think we all have that experience, and that we feel like we are younger than we actually are, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just, it's weird. Like, you look at, like, when you're a kid looking up at the parents, and they think, like, they got it all together. They know what's going on. And then you get to their age, and you're like, man, they were lying. They don't know what the hell's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is, again, I love that you say that, because my very first personal development course was Landmark Education. Mm-hmm. And it's in, it was Landmark Forum. It's all over the world. And I did that course because when I started trading, I was such a mess, right? Because the way I was brought up was not really helpful for becoming an amazing trader. So my operating system.
Do you mean that culturally, or do you mean that just your specific environment?
Specifically my environment, but also culturally. So I heard about this guy in Australia who was a very successful options trader, and that he did Landmark Education that, you know, changed his trading. Like, they're always like, it was one thing and it changed my world.
Right, it's the one.
No, it's never one thing, right? It's like transformation goes over decades, right? I'm still transforming even after 20 years.
Anything worth having takes a lot of work. It's not going to be an overnight flip a switch and you're off to the races, right?
Rarely. Yeah. Like, sometimes we have these reframes and the light bulb moments.
Yes.
But even that light bulb moment then
it's needs years to be translated in the making.
Into, yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
So I did landmark education, and that was really my first introduction into the world of personal development. And talking about flipping the switch, like I was never good at catching a ball. So right. As a child, even I loved sports, but you know, playing soccer was okay because I could do that with my foot, but catching right. a ball, never, like I was like.
Right.
And then I had a Swedish boyfriend who was a tennis player, you know, like when I was in my teens. And my hometown was full of Swedish tennis players.
Oh, yeah?
Like they failed as professional tennis players, so they became tennis instructors. And
yeah, yeah.
So they made their, you know, all the girls loved them, which, you know, it didn't last long with him. But he taught me one very, very defining life life lesson, really, mm-hmm. where he threw me the tennis ball and I'm like, catch it. Then he says, now just look at the seam. That's all you do. Just look at the seam of the tennis ball. And I'm looking at the seam. It's like, I caught the ball. I'm like, oh my God, that so changed my world.
Huh. So just by picking one detail to focus on, you're able to turn yeah. off the rest of the noise, kind of?
Exactly.
Interesting.
And focusing on what matters. And this is what I learned in landmark education then decades later, because landmark education, when you start, they're like, there's this really big circle. That's all the knowledge in the world, right? That's all the trading knowledge in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this little pie here, that is everything that you know that you know. Like I know that I know how to trade a moving average.
Right.
And then there's another little pie. That's everything that you know that you don't know. Like I don't know how to trade Ichimoku because I never practiced
never
it. I never
it.
Learned it. There you go.
Right.
And I didn't care, to be honest, yeah. right? It's yeah. not my thing. And then the rest of the circle, what is that? That's all the things we didn't know we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that tennis ball experience was one of the things I didn't know I didn't know. And the moment that piece of information came into my world, my whole world expanded because now I could apply that to everything in my life. Like, what is the one thing that I haven't heard of that I'm missing that I don't know?
Hmm.
When if I learn that, if that comes into my consciousness, will allow me to have accelerated transformation.
Interesting. So that's funny because I think of that. I listen to that. It reminds me of a story or a book I read from Malcolm Gladwell called Blink. And I've talked about this many times on the program.
Yeah,
I'm sure
love
people
that
are sick
book.
Of that.
I love it.
But the thing that stood out to me with that was the like the information overload that comes from having too many things that you're looking at or too many things that you're trying to check on. Like really, you need to narrow that down to like the two or three things that matter. And if you can do that, then you'll find a lot more success when it comes to like predicting.
Absolutely. Why do we do that though? Why do we try to draw from so many different
complexity
sources? The complexity.
It's like we try to add complexity because we think that complexity yeah. equals better.
And also it gives us more certainty. It's always this fear of we don't have that one piece that's going to help us to transform. So we try to bring in as much as possible, like being at the buffet and you need to eat the whole thing and your body is well beyond nutritional value, but you still keep eating. And it's the same thing almost.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Plus it's fun to learn new trading strategies, but
yeah, yeah. Hmm. But there's a difference between learning something because it's fun and searching for something because you're trying to fill that uncertainty void in your soul.
It's a compensation. Exactly.
Right.
I love how you worded that.
Well, I think we've all gone through that experience of strategy hopping. Like you
get
frustrated with one thing and you just throw it all away and you go start over from scratch because, well, better to start over because I'm addicted to the process now of going through that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always preventing us to deal with the real core issue.
Mm.
So I was working with a trader and he did the same thing. An incredibly bright guy, like so successful in his business world. And he did the same thing. Like he studied ICT and he studied Al Brooks and Peter Brand. Like he studied really three different, completely different ways of trading.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, you don't need that. All you need, like all you need in order to make profits, you already have.
Right.
You don't need anything else. You just need one strategy. And for him, it was so fear-driven and, you know, out of his own personal history, of course, but it was so fear-driven that he needed to learn and study everything. And I brought him back. I said, let's just do this thing. We go on Live Market Replay and we just trade this one strategy, which I call it my I call it my slingshot turtle setup.
Mm-hmm. Slingshot so turtle?
Yeah. So that turtle because turtle soup sounds even worse.
Oh,
so
right,
that
that's
comes
true,
from
yeah.
Linda's turtle soup strategy. And which is basically a false breakout, right? That's
okay.
All it is. It's
yeah.
a false I love false breakouts. They're everywhere.
Right.
And that's what we did. We just traded false breakouts on a 5-minute chart. He's a very short-term trader, very active guy, right? So I can't have him a swing trader. He would completely sabotage it because he needs to be engaged. We call him a dynamo in our behavioral profiling process.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Dynamo, I call him now. I did on the 5 minutes and also 15-minute just false breakout.
Yeah.
And he was like super profitable.
How did you get him to actually sit down and do the exercise? Because that seems...
I did it with him.
Ah.
And it's
okay.
A really good question because dynamos, they don't have the patience to do that on their own. So we call that a buddy system.
You need your accountability buddy?
No, not accountability. It's a...
That's a South Park joke. I'm sorry. It's
an
accountability buddy. It's what they call their person that they are supposed to be with. Yeah. No,
accountability
anyway.
Buddy.
It's a fun little play.
It is a nice wordplay. So where can we take that one?
I don't know.
this is a buddy that shares the pain with you.
Oh, so it's almost what would you call that? Oh, where's my wife? I need her words.
bring her in.
Right.
So, for example, Linda Rushke is not a big fan of doing her homework preparation.
Yeah.
It's like, who does, right? It is kind of boring. Unless you're the analyst type, right? Then mm-hmm. All you want to do is preparation.
But right.
We are not, right? We are active people. So what she does, we have a little Skype room. We all post our homework there at the same time. So when I do my preparation, I know that Linda and Kyle and Ash and, you know, Hans and Sabrina, like we all sit there at the same time. And I don't feel so alone with it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I want to also shine with them, right? My ego kicks in.
You
want to
do
way.
Good work and you don't want to be the one that didn't do their work either. Like,
yes.
So there's a little bit of shame in there with it.
Yes.
Yeah, I find the same thing. Like you need people pushing you almost. It's not necessarily like I need them to keep me accountable, but I need them to help me like measure myself. I need to see, okay, what are you doing? And am I keeping up?
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And so you know how they say, don't compare yourself to others. Yes, do compare yourself to others, but in the way that you just shared, like, what are they doing that I can do as well?
Right. Or what am I doing that they're not doing? And maybe I can help them too.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And I remember I had this guy, right? He would copy everything that I posted on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
say it, in a much better, express in a much better way, you know, English is first language, excuse, right?
Right.
And it pissed me off. He would get like, you know, 300 likes and I would get 3
right.
likes. And it's like, that is my tweet.
Right.
Just made it look good. Now I know he did it with AI. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh.
And so I complained to Linda and I said, this guy really pisses me off. And she's like, so look how he does it. And then do it better than him. And
what's
like,
stopping you from doing it? Yeah.
Yeah. And this was, again, such a revelation because the way I was brought up, remember my mom, she was like 20 or something
mm-hmm.
when she got me. So not an adult like your oma and your
right.
opa. I was being brought up as being codependent, as being helpless. And this is what the parents do. The parents, they bring their children up unconsciously trying to meet their own needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom needed me to be the sweet little one, and sweet little ones never make successful people because This is what we call a role a mask that we take on as we grow up. So these are personalities. That's why I always say I do behavioral profile, not personality profiling. The personalities we create to please other people and to navigate the world safely. And so good girls are not allowed to own anything. Guess how that looked like in my trading?
Oh my gosh.
I make profits and I'm like, look at me, you know, superwoman. I made it finally. And then I gave it all back. And it's like, yeah. What the fuck? And it was like I was banging my head against this invisible glass door. I did not know what's going on until I understood, until I studied human behavior. And it's like, oh my God, that's the good girl syndrome. People pleaser. Doesn't know how to set boundaries because I was never allowed to set boundaries. Why was I never allowed? Because my mom grew up after, like, she was born at the end tail of the war.
Yeah.
She grew up with no food. Yep. The first banana she got was from an American soldier, right?
Right.
The kindness he gave that little girl. And there was just nothing there. Her father was a prisoner of war. She only met him consciously when she was 4 years old, when he came back from the prison.
My oma's, her dad, he passed away. It was in like the last weeks of the war too. It was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are we surprised that they didn't make any good parents?
Right.
They didn't have Google to, you know, how can I help my kid to be better at school or something.
Right. And I want to be careful how you word that too. Let's not say they're not good parents. They just didn't have the tools to be able that we do now. Here's the thing that I think I've learned over the years is that everybody's going to have issues. Your issues are going to be there regardless of what they are. Some of them are Some of them seem worse to other people by comparison, but everyone, like, they feel the same to you. Whatever your issues are, they're the most important things to you. You're going to have them one way or the other. It doesn't matter what your parents did. Like, they're going to cause some issues, like, right? It's just you're not going to be born without them. You're not going to go through childhood without them.
No one escapes unscathed, I always
Nobody
say.
Can be that perfect, right? Yeah. So I try not to judge it too much. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the reality of what I did not learn how to make good decisions. Why? My mom didn't learn it and she didn't have Google to ask how do I make good decisions. She didn't have that. So that's kind of what I was saying.
Yes. No, that's a hang up of mine actually now that I'm thinking about it is that we don't, why do we have to defend? Why am I rushing to defend it? It's just a statement. It's not, it doesn't.
You a parent?
My wife is. I got to step into it about halfway through the process.
So you're
a step parent. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get to do the diaper changes. I got to skip that part.
But you see, when we feel the need to defend something, it's because it touches something within us.
Yeah.
And the way I could observe it in you was there was a moment of compassion.
Yeah. Towards your mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We don't judge. We work with it. So I came to the point where I'm like, oh, my mom just didn't know that. And going back to Landmark now.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I had this aha moment in Landmark. There's this moment when the trainer says, everybody who has young kids, please stand up. Mm-hmm. So everybody stands up. And then they say, these were your parents when you were a young kid. And by then we had all heard the stories of them struggling and surviving and victory and triumph and pain and shame. And we had compassion for those people. And then suddenly we saw our parents through completely different eyes. And that was for me the moment of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out in the break. I called my dad. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. And in Germany, that was in Australia when I did Landmark. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning in Germany. He picks up the phone and said, I knew it was you. And I burst out in tears.
Right.
And I said, I'm so sorry. I was such a bad daughter. And he said, that's okay. As long as you're happy. And I'm like, I was crying the whole day, right? Because he's like, just, it's okay. I just want you to be happy. It's all good. Don't worry about it. And I was really, I did not want to see him for many years after my parents got separated. And because I didn't know how to deal with the whole situation, right? With my parents separating. And, but yeah, that was the moment of compassion for me, exactly the moment that you just felt and you said, hang on, let's not judge them.
Right. But it's not that, that was my fault in assuming that there was judgment happening in there, because there's not really. When we're talking about the things that happened to us in our childhood, they're just facts. Like, we're just trying to acknowledge them so we can, you know, learn how to deal with it.
Exactly. So then I sat down and I started observing my mom. It's like, how does my mom process life? How does she deal with stress? Mm-hmm. How does she make financial decisions and so on? And I could then look at everything, every behavior that I had learned that was not helping me to be a good trader or even make generally good decisions in my life, right? And then I could go to work and say, all right, so these are my gaps. And, you know, my brother always said to me, and I didn't understand it for many years, I was very resentful of him saying that. He said, the moment you turn 18, you are responsible for your own, bringing yourself up, right? So education, it's hard to translate from German. You have to become your own best parent. And I never got it. And that was the moment when I really got it. It's like, what is it that I was missing in my childhood that I now need to catch up on? Not as a judgment, but as a reality. Like if I go to the gym and I have a weak core muscles and weak glute muscles,
I can't work on them.
Yeah, I go work on them.
Right.
That's exactly the same in trading.
Yeah, it's all about awareness and acknowledging it, right?
Yeah.
Because if you can do that, then... if you can at least look at it, then eventually you'll figure out a way to address it or do something to work with it, right? But if you don't even know it exists, then what are you doing? You're never going to get anywhere.
It still baffles me. Like, so many traders just want to work on the surface level, and I'm not a surface level coach.
Right, I can tell.
They're like, I want to know why I'm not disciplined. I said, okay, let's dive deep and figure it out. And then, they just want to know how to put post-it notes on their computer to stay, how can I have willpower, you know?
Yeah, you've got all this work that you got to do. That's hard. And you're going to ask a lot of hard questions. And some of those answers you get are scary.
It's scary and confronting. Yeah.
But the more you do it, the more you realize it doesn't actually hurt, right?
Yeah.
And if you can get through it the first couple times, then you start to see the benefit of it. And then, it really starts to open the doors, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It opens the doors to trading success. It opens the doors to success in life.
That's the one that doesn't get talked about as much. But I mean, even if my trading isn't where I want it to be necessarily yet, my relationship with my wife is better than it's ever been. And I wouldn't trade in the experience or the time that I spent learning to trade just for that simple fact right there. Like, it's made me a better person.
Absolutely. Like, we have to get to know ourselves so well. Now, not everyone has to do that, right? I know traders who are completely ignorant of themselves, ignorant of others. They're real assholes. They make a shitload of money. Right. So it's not necessarily that connection between I have to be self-aware and a good person to be successful in trading, which I see a lot on Twitter as well, you know.
Right.
You have to meditate and that bullshit. Yes, meditate if you want to meditate and it does do you good, but you don't have to be successful.
No, we're like all
Linda
different.
Doesn't meditate, right? Exactly.
I'm not a big meditator. I see some value in it, but that's not my thing. Yeah. Like, I've tried just because, like, I'm open to trying things, but...
yeah.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what-were-they-thinking moments. The Buck Starts Here dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America, $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective, real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shaped the country, without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states, and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
There's so many different paths. There's so many different things. Everybody's so different. Yeah. There's no,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's honoring yourself, what you need. And for many traders who have anxiety, when they start meditating, it actually makes the anxiety worse. So meditation is not generally a good thing because it aggravates the nervous system even more because we try to control instead of being with the emotion and talking it out. In order to heal, we have to feel and communicate about it, right?
Right. Actually, you make a great, yeah. How many times do you see people talking on Twitter and other trading platforms about controlling your emotions? I hate that word. I hate that word. You don't have control over it. You need to be with it, be aware of it, and understand it. Like, that's what I want. I want to understand why it's doing what it's doing, so I know I have a better idea of what to do in that situation. Then, if I'm always, if I don't understand it, how can I react to it?
It's a thing, you know. That's exactly what I was talking about. They come to you and say, can you teach me how to control my emotions? I'm like, no, I can't. But what I can do is I can help you to resolve and dissolve the emotions so they're completely gone. They're not even an issue anymore.
So you mentioned fear a lot, I think. Actually, I think that was one that came up a lot on your Twitter when I was browsing through your profile. But I had an interesting experience this morning where I was feeling a lot of fear before I sat down to trade. And I had to make a note in my journal to myself that telling me that that fear is good. I reminded myself that that fear is what's keeping me from burning my hand on the stove. Let's recognize what it's there for, and let's try to listen to it when it's time to tell us, you know, like, hey, maybe this is a time we need to be fearful. So,
are you happy to have a little conversation around it? I won't go too harsh on you.
No, I've done a few of these, so it wouldn't be my first time.
Excellent. Yeah, I love it. So, when you sat down on your desk and the fear came up, where in your body did you feel that fear? If you could point to it, where was it?
I'm not sure. It wasn't when I was at the desk. It was actually when I was in bed, like kind of doing some visualizations, like getting ready to wake up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's probably like tension in like the core.
The chest.
Either here or maybe a little lower. It's in that region. Maybe it kind of moves between the two.
Did you, as a child, lose someone quite suddenly that was dear to you? I'm exploring with you now, right? Doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
can be an animal as well.
Animals, I did not have good luck with animals. I think I remember at 5, I got a dog my dad brought home, and a week later, we had to put it down. Quite a few pets I think we ended up losing.
And did you feel grief about and sad about it, or was it something because you were too young, you didn't quite understand as yet?
Oh, no. My goldfish that I had in my first grade, I drew cutouts of them because I wanted to take them into class to do show and tell, but yeah. They died like that week that I was supposed to do my show and tell. So I had to do cutouts and take the cutouts and tell everybody about my fish that died. And I cried in middle class. Mm. It was very sad for goldfish.
Yeah. So was any humans that you maybe have lost? It doesn't have to be to death. They kind of moved out of your life that are very dear to you.
Okay. So that was a lot of movement, I think, as a child. My parents divorced when I was 4 or 5. So I lived with my dad for a couple of years, and I went back to my mom. I want to say by the time I joined the military, I'd probably already lived in 8 different places at that point. So yeah, I moved around quite a bit as a kid, I think.
Yeah. So you can already see certain influences of fear,
mm-hmm.
where yes, fear is good, but when you lay in bed and you have fear, that fear is misplaced, right? It's like, it's not the time to have fear.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And so when you feel fear in the upper chest, it's usually the fear based on old grief.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, chest infections, cough, asthma in Chinese medicine is connected with grief as well.
Really?
Yeah. Ah. So when you feel the fear in your solar plexus, it is generally a fear of losing control. And you said it's kind of on both areas.
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint it, but I'm having trouble because it feels like I can feel it here and I can feel it down here too. I can both.
Yeah, that will be the case because one can mean the other. Mm-hmm. And so look, as a child, you moved around a lot. You were not in control of your life. Like people moved you.
Right.
And you were not in control. So that you then feel a fear of losing control, completely normal.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's still superficial level, by the way.
So now that I know that, or what would be the next steps then to try to mitigate some of that? I guess try not to use the word control there.
And I love it. It's right. Always the, how can I get rid of it as quick as possible?
I don't want to get rid of it, but what? how do I work with it?
How do I deal with it? What do I do with it?
Yes.
Right? So now I have the insight. So now what?
Right. What does that mean going forward?
So now you feel that fear coming up again. And let's say it's in your solar plexus, right? You put your hand on your solar plexus or, where, you know, in that upper area of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And you just breathe into it. And so you ask yourself, if that is a fear of losing control, what is that I'm afraid of losing control over?
Right.
So when you trade, do you feel sometimes like you are not in control? That would be our next question.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some struggles with discipline lately, trade discipline that I would put towards that.
Yeah.
And I used to think a lot of that was due to confidence issues, like not having enough confidence in the setup or the whatever trade that I'm taking.
But what is lack of confidence? It's fear.
Yeah. It's the now that you say that, it's like the lack of certainty is really the thing that I don't like. So, man, how do you work with that? How do I embrace that in a field that is extremely uncertain?
Yeah. So again, because I don't know you from, like, you know, we've spoken for half an hour. That's all I know of you.
Right. You fixed all my issues, just like that, right?
So the way we operate in life is like we are memories.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of what makes up your emotional world, it's the memories. And when you have this fear laying in bed early in the morning and it creeps up on you, this subliminal anxiety that's kind of humming about, that is based on past experience.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can see that as a child, you did not have control over your life. There was no stability. And right. The job as a parent is to give the child stability. You did not have that. So going back to, and I can see that you've done so much work on yourself because you changed the wording already. But people who have experienced lack of stability growing up, mm-hmm. they are the ones seeking control over their lives. So it's always the opposite spectrum. It's a duality of life.
That's so funny. I never really feel like I'm not in control of my life, but I do find myself really caring about knowing what's going to happen, knowing being right, I find myself like caring more about than anything else.
It's your coping mechanism. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I got to be right. If I can't be certain, if I have uncertainty, like, at least I can be right about something. Right. I guess.
Yeah. Huh. And so understanding that and going deeper with this and doing some work on that, that would unravel a lot of impulsive and compulsive trading behavior. Because the fears, they're all in our lower brain, right? The amygdala, it's just lower because it's lower than the prefrontal cortex. The rational thinking is in the prefrontal cortex.
That's the reptilian side, right? The thing that controls like the base instincts and urges.
The reptilian is here, exactly. So when you talk about the fear like you did at the beginning, that is helping us, that is protecting us from doing stupid things, like driving too fast into a curve or something. For example, I had a little AMG SLK55, and they are very light cars, and they spin really quickly in the in curves. I had a fear of that. So what did I do? I did driver training. I took my car to driver training a whole day. I learned how to handle the car if it were to spin on an oil slick, and it was quite fun, actually, how to brake really, really fast when something unexpected comes on the road. And so, see, that was a really good fear. But that fear that I had was, and this is how it's supposed to be, right? Your prefrontal cortex and your amygdala should work as a team. Amygdala is like, fear, fear, fear. Prefrontal cortex, okay, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. Let's put a stop loss, risk management.
What am I actually afraid of needs to be identified?
That needs to be dealt with.
In your situation, you're able to identify what was causing the fear and able to actually go make change in order to eliminate it.
Yeah. Make logical and rational change. Yeah.
So in my situation, if stability is something that I'm lacking, then maybe I can create that stability through whatever trade processes or whatever that I'm putting together. If I can create something that I can lean on for that stability and then just know that that's where I'm finding my stability, maybe that'll make me embrace it a little bit more.
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's not it? Dang. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a band-aid. It's a coping mechanism. So the thing is, the fear that you describe that you have in your solar plexus in your upper chest, that is the fear of the amygdala. And that is the fear that is the survival fear to that point that the prefrontal cortex can't work properly anymore. And that's why when traders are in a drawdown and they can't press that damn mouse button, and they know, I have to get out. And they can't press that mouse button is because the thinking comes only from survival. Their survival is being triggered. And any child, for example, that is afraid lies.
Right.
It's a survival mechanism, yeah. So when you have a child that lies, you need to understand why, what is it afraid of? So it doesn't need to lie.
So there's something I recently remember learning about with, fight or flight, right?
Yeah.
But aren't there there's two other steps in there, I think. And one of them was
freeze.
Yeah.
And fawn. F-A-W-N.
The freeze one I thought was super interesting. And you don't really hear it, but I think some of us have experienced that before. Like when you get into deep depression when you get into that. Like it's just, you just basically curl up into yourself and you do nothing until something changes in circumstance around you. And that was kind of eye-opening to even know that that was an actual process. And like mice use it. I think they discovered it in mice. And
predators who can't take their losses, who let losses run, are in freeze. They're in trauma. It's literally a trauma response.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, predators don't want to talk about trauma, but that's where the solution lies. And, you know, for example, there has been so much research. You know, Dr. Gabor Mate and Peter Levine and even Freud, right? Sigmund Freud said very early on, when you have gamblers, those pathological gamblers, they have deep guilt and they punish themselves for that guilt.
Really?
And you don't, that's generalized, right? It's not everyone, but it's those who know what to do, who have a strategy that works well, and yet do the opposite. It doesn't need to be, right? It's like, can be. So often we deal with guilt and with unresolved guilt and shame. And when that is identified and healed, which is like, once you know what it is, it's you know, when you have like, Muhammad Ali said, it's not the steepness of the mountains that we can't conquer. It's when we have a pebble in the shoe on the way up.
Right.
And once you understand what this thing is for you, what your pebble in your shoe is that causes that fear that you're describing, you take that pebble out and the fear is gone.
Right.
And the natural fear, the fear that is justified, is still there.
Okay. So going back then, since my initial plan there is not right, we don't want to look for stability yet. What we want to do is hand over the spot where we feel that fear originating. Deep breaths until we feel it subside. And then at that point, are we going to do some reflection or maybe try to use the front of our brain to think about what's causing that fear? Or?
You wouldn't be able to as yet, because trauma literally
is blocking
your front, is blocking that.
Yeah.
And so, for example, in what you described, again, I don't know enough about you, so I'm keeping it very, you know, superficial,
right? Yes.
But what you describe is that out of your experience as a child, how did you try to control your world in the world where you didn't have any control? What did you try to do?
I probably just didn't engage in it. I think I withdrew into myself and books, did a lot of reading. Just kind of did my own thing, actually.
Yeah.
So I think I would say I learned to rely on myself when I couldn't rely on the rest of the world.
Yeah. So what you're doing now is, when you talk about having, you know, the safeguards in your strategy and...
I'm relying on myself instead of letting other people help too.
That too, but also you're trying to seek certainty in the outside world. Because your trading strategy has its place, right? It's important to have defined when to get in, when to get out. What do I do under different market conditions? Like, that's the skill.
Yeah.
So the journey for you is from trying to create certainty and control through the outside world, even shutting out the outside world is trying to control.
Yep.
To finding the certainty within you. So when you wake up with anxiety, what is it that you're afraid you can't handle in your trading?
I have to think about that one, because I'm sure there's a lot of different answers that could come up.
And whatever the answer is, that is your journey.
Yeah.
So again, let's take a trader, because that's the 90%. Like, when you look at trader broker statistics, they all keep statistics, by the way. Every one of my friends who works with brokers or have their own brokerages say 90% of traders don't take their losses. They let them run.
Yeah.
And that's why they blow up. Not even so much the going on tilt, but the letting them run.
Yeah.
What is it that you're afraid of when you let that loss run? Just as an example, we can take that for everything.
I mean, really, in that situation, it's mostly fear of missing out, right? You're afraid that it's going to reverse and you're going to be...
It could turn around in that moment.
You're afraid of being right. you're afraid of being right, but too late, I think is what it works out to, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's say you take that loss. Mm-hmm. It does turn around the very moment you got out. Mm-hmm. How do you feel in that moment?
Ah, they did it again. They got me again.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Despondent.
Almost
angry,
like the world's against you.
Frustrated. World's against me.
Right.
But can you see it's not taking the loss that you're afraid you can't handle?
It's the thoughts that come from the loss. Yes.
The pain that comes with it. And so when we talk about the fear, what you did as a child, you withdrew into your own world because the fear of not being able to deal with the adult world that you were at the mercy of was too painful for you to handle. Because as a 5-year-old or 4-year-old, even 10-year-old, we don't have the tools and the language and understanding our emotions to deal with those situations. That's what we need adults for.
Right.
And so now let's look at how does trauma get created. Trauma is not necessarily the severity of the incident, which, you know, originally was the assumption.
Well, I think we kind of discussed or kind of hinted around that at the beginning, right? We're talking about how everybody has their own trauma.
Exactly. Yes. Trauma can be something like your parents separated and then they said, well, you now have to move to a different city. And there was no one there saying, Kyle, it's okay. We are there for you. We are going to help you through. It's going to be painful because you're going to miss your friends. You're going to make new friends. We are here. We have your back. If that did not happen, a little bit of trauma was created. Mask was created. So the true Kyle was now starting to create a persona to deal with the stress and the uncertainty and the fears.
Yeah.
And now when that fear gets triggered, not the true Kyle is trading, which is an awesome trader and follows his rules and is in flow. It is the persona Kyle that is trading for is being brought back in moments of fear. And that persona Kyle, I call them our ninjas, was created when he was 4 years old and he was told he had to move cities.
Right. I'm actually,
or whatever your circumstance was, right?
As I think back on it, it's actually bringing up a lot of other, like, I can see where that would have.
Yeah.
And some of them are a little personal. I don't really want to get into them because I don't like.
No need.
I don't like putting my dirty laundry out there as far as family goes. But you've given me a lot to think about, actually. And I really do appreciate that. This has been one heck of a discussion, Mandy. And I hope everybody listening, I mean, you basically just heard now what Mandy can do for you, right? I mean, I think you've showcased your expertise here pretty well. And even with just a quick 30-minute conversation, you kind of got to the root of some of my issues.
Let me add one last piece to round it up and not to
please.
End on a heavy note as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody says it's the lack of discipline that is causing us to not succeed. What is lack of discipline? Lack of discipline is knowing what to do, but not doing what we know. Now, to go back to that landmark circle, right? There's the, we know what to do. So we know what we know what we don't know, and we don't know what we don't know.
I find that my discipline lapses happen when I enter situations that I've not considered or experienced before.
So when you're in a situation that you have not considered, and see, now you can actually be proactive and say, what have I not considered?
Mm-hmm.
But let's just keep that for a moment, and I'll give you some insights into that in a minute. So there are three areas that you need to work on, right? So number one, if you look at Daniel Kahneman, my favorite book, Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow, 600 pages, right? But it's like, it's so awesome. I actually have a free training. It's called The Four Pillars of Trading or something on my website, and it's four free lessons. And the first one is behavioral finance. So the Daniel Kahneman applied for trading. So naturally, we are not born to make good trading or financial decisions.
Right.
Daniel Kahneman did lots of research in the 70s to confirm that. And this is kind of what I talk about in that session. So we need to train our trading mind to learn how to make good financial decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, so that's behavioral finance that needs to be trained.
Okay.
Number two is our emotions and fears and hopes. They are a reflection of how we grew up, what we were lacking as a child, as well as the significant experiences we had as a child. So all the memories are being triggered in trading. So when a fear memory comes up and we can't do what we know we must, like getting out of this losing trade or, you know, letting our profit run, like all the traditional mistakes that we make, we know we need to look at our emotions and deal with the emotional upheaval. That's the second part. And then the third part, I get traders that say, I'm so fearful, you know, I'm hesitating, I don't get into a trade. And then I go with them through their trading strategy. And I'm like, you should kiss your little unconscious and be thankful because your trading strategy doesn't have an edges yet. You need to go back and fix that. So that's the things we didn't know. So these are really the three areas that you want to work on in general that influence discipline, that maybe create fears, and that will help you to deal with those emotions as well.
That is so well said, Mandy. Thank you so much. Where can people find your work if they wanted to book some time with you, or maybe they wanted to look through? I think you had a YouTube channel. You've also got some blogs that I was looking through. They got some great content on there.
Yes, I've got a YouTube channel. I forgot the name, but it's a link on my Twitter account.
I'll make sure it's linked Monday in the show notes too.
Thank you. MPX_trader.
I actually watched a really good video, the one about the story of your client sharing about oversizing. I actually was planning on bringing that up, but we got into so much other good stuff that I didn't have time for that.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what I try to do. I don't try to do the normal, like, let's be disciplined and focused and resilient. It's like, we know all that. Like, tell me how to freaking do it, right?
Right.
And so I try to share the challenges that my traders had. Because that's reality, right? Like, I'm fat and I want to lose weight, you know? Like, don't tell me I have to eat salad. I know that myself, right? But what do I do when the pizza is in front of me? Right?
Well, I think what I really loved about that story was that the client was begging you, I think, to share that with the rest of the world, which is why I was actually planning on asking you about it. But we'll just use it as a teaser. I'll make sure I link that video in the show notes, too, so people can find that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But I think...
it's cute.
I think we're probably going to have to say goodbye to Mandy, though. So please join me in thanking her for joining us today. You can do that by visiting highperformancetrading.com.au. And yes, you do need both of those dot extensions. I tried it. Mandy does have that other YouTube channel. It's full of great content, too, not to mention that blog on the website. So make sure you're clicking on her links in the show notes. I will be back soon with another exciting guest vetted by all of you. But until that day, like, share, subscribe to all the things, and have a green week.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.